inside another wheel. Does that make sense? This is why we're like, woo! As weird as it is, you know, these things, the cool kids will all be doing this in a few years. This intoxication is going to flow through you eventually. I mean, I don't know how many years that is, you know. If it flows through you today, then it'll multiply to those around you and those around you and those around you. But, you know, even if you're like, I'm not quite tracking with this heavenly thing, eventually everyone's going to get it anyways. So it's good news. But eventually everybody's going to look like these... I don't even know. Living creatures will be very, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, living creatures, of course. We all know about living creatures. We all flow in living creatures and whatnot. So. Anyways, but I just love the atmosphere of heaven. And I just encourage you right now, just put your hand on your neighbor and give him another fresh drink, you know. Just, or if you're not nearby somebody, just put your hand on yourself or just let your vibrations flow through your own body. Just electrocuting your own self with glory. Yeah. It feels good. Feels good. Feeling good. Feeling good. Feeling good. Jesus. Does anybody want to see some healing, crazy healing manifestations? Just put your hand up. Bam. There you go. Next time you put your hand on somebody, you're gonna see something wild. I just feel that word. Thank you, Lord. You're gonna see some wild stuff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Maybe you can just say this with Paul. You know, in Romans chapter 15, it says, I am sure that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. let me just read that to you again. In Romans chapter 15, Paul says, I am sure. You can just say these words to me. I am sure that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I'll just say one of those phrases again. I am sure. That was what made Paul's ministry. Somewhere along the line, he was convinced that when he came into a place that he was sure that he came in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Oh my God. Hey, let's just not go through another meeting here. Is that all right? Anybody all right with that? Hey, today, salvation is at hand. Today, as long as it's called today, right? My God. Just follow the little white rabbit during the meeting. If you're sensing something, just go with it. You know what I'm saying? If you like see glory in someone's belly, just go and just, you know, chomp on it or something. Just take a big bite. Or you just, you know, you're like, it's time for me to leave. You know, just leave. I don't care. Just follow the white rabbit. You know what I mean? If you feel like trying to walk through the wall, just go for it. We won't make fun of you. You know, we're cool with it. I like it. I like, you know, it's like, I like miracles. but yeah, so go with the flow. And I'm honored to talk tonight. I'm honored to try and speak. Yeah. I just want to talk tonight about our inclusion in the community of the Trinity. All mankind's inclusion in the Trinity. It's really good news. Even those words alone carry a lot of juice. Just meditate on that for just a second. Inclusion in the community of the Trinity. Thank you, Lord. I believe there's a revelation right now that, you know, at these glory parties, we just try to preach the gospel a little bit. We try not to try to preach the gospel. But some, you know, I've just been feeling in my heart this community thing the last few weeks, just to like, just the power and the glory of what we're releasing, just from our little manifestation of community here, which may be a lot bigger than you think. The little crystallized DNA of community that's being birthed here is the very heart of God. And so tonight I just want to share on the beauty of the fact that God is a Trinity. And then the mind-blowing scandal of the fact that we've been included in that communion, in that community, inside the Trinity, right? So I just want to read a few scriptures and just have fun, you know. And for some of you, it's like, yeah, of course this is normal, but I just, you know, then if this is all normal stuff to you, if the stuff I say tonight is all stuff that you are tracking with, then I encourage you to just begin to think of how you're going to be able to communicate that to those around you, because this is not that commonly, put into words yet. You know what I mean? It's not like there's not a ton of people yet that are fully tracking with this. And this is simply just the basic, you know, heart of God. It is simply why we are created. I was watching an old message where I said something that I wasn't planning on saying, but it still rings true in my heart, is that, you know, community is really the primary aim of God. It's like really like the primary, like at the end of the day, like, after, you know, the miracles are good and everything, you know, and even like preaching the gospel is amazing. But the end result is that we would all be able to fellowship with one another with unhindered vulnerability and intimacy, you know, just like hanging out forever in the party, like in a celebratory atmosphere of lightness and like impurity, you know. Like in the mirror translation of Romans 5:1, where it says, now you have unhindered, unlimited friendship with God. Most translations say, now you have peace with God, Romans 5:1. But that word peace, sometimes we're like, what does that even mean? You know, that's why I love that translation. It says we have unlimited friendship. And that's what's so exciting, you know. And I think that that's something that's really powerfully going on here among our group, you know, among our little crew, is like, we're just learning how to be like unlimited friends, like no limitations, you know. And last week, that's what I was speaking on, and that, and I put it up as a podcast titled Heavy Drunken Something Community or something. Woo! But that's it, you know, just that kind of love and that kind of relationship was exactly what that early church was operating in Acts 2. You know, as the Holy Spirit came upon all flesh. Say it again, all flesh. As the Holy Spirit, like Joel 2 prophesied, will come upon all flesh. They saw a manifestation of people that came from all different towns, all different parts of the world. They'd gathered to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And as Holy Spirit manifested, it's like, it's, you know, statistically looking back, it looks like about 4,000 people dropped everything just to move together in unlimited friendship. Like, this is, wow. And what's so wild is that as we get a revelation of the Trinity, of who God has always been, and how we were created out of the overflow of that, how we were created out of it. It's like people are like, why have kids? You know, I've heard people ask, like, you know, newly married couples that are planning on having kids are like, why have kids? It's like, and I asked the Lord that for a while before my wife and I had kids. And the Lord just began to speak and say, there's really only one good reason to have children. It's because there's so much love flowing between you and your spouse that you have to share it with someone else. That there's just so much that you're like, this is so amazing. You know, you hear some people that are like, I wouldn't want to bring children into this world. You ever heard people say that? Like, I wouldn't want to bring children into this world. And that's because they're not experiencing this Trinitarian love. And that's really good reason. If you're not experiencing that, don't bring a child into the death that you're experiencing. I mean, God redeems everything, so it's like, I'm not concerned, but ultimately the great reason and the thrust of God's heart was that God, the Trinity, is overflowing with so much love that they're like, let's bring more people into this thing. And what's so amazing at this discovery right now in the gospel, and guys like, you know, C. Baxter Kruger and the guy that wrote The Shack and a bunch of some of the guys you guys are drinking from right now and learning from are seeing in this gospel a picture of eternity from a totally like new view, you know, and it changes everything. You're like, oh my God, like God didn't need servants, you know. Well, like, which is so weird to think that, like, the unlimited, like, all-powerful God would need to create little, like, minions to, like, do stuff for him, you know? Like, but you hear stuff like that, you know, or all these ideas about why we were created, you know, even just created for worship. I mean, that's cool and everything, but that's still, like, man, there's just so much more than that. You know what I mean? Like, or if you really have to hold on to that worship one because you're such a Bible scholar and you've heard too much theology, let's just transform that word worship into something that it might mean more accurately, which is simply like just a real adoration of one another. You know, like a deep, deep admiration. But I believe, dude, as we look and I want to look at a couple scriptures tonight, but that, there's just such an enthralling picture of life. When we know, like, what is going on, you know? Like, when you see reality, that's why we're all talking about, who cares about revival and everything? I mean, that's good, but what's real? Let's just see what's real, because whatever God created, what if God's good, then maybe reality's really good, and maybe, like, more than just, like, trying to kick things up a notch, let's just exist in what was always in the heart of the Father, you know? Let's just trust that God actually made life really good, and we don't have to kick it up a notch. Woo! So anyway, oh man, I'm just excited. That's why I just want to look at some scriptures tonight and just be refreshed, you know? Wow. So, you know, all of you know the Genesis one, in the beginning God created, and that's kind of what we're going back in. What is in the heart of God from all eternity past, you know? And I just want to look at one that a lot of you guys know, but Proverbs chapter 8 gives us a little context. Right? To Genesis 1. So if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 8, I mean, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It's so juicy, guys. It's just beautiful to see what was Mama and Papa and Jesus doing? I know for a fact that this man parties. yeah, dude. And while you're turning there, if you want to turn to Proverbs 8, like verse 30, you know, one of the cool things about Genesis 1, if you look into the words where it says, when God said, "Let there be light," right? The word there for what God said could also be God sung. God sang, you know, and really, it's just vibrations, you know, that God released. And that's why even the sounds that we're singing during worship and all the trippiness there, you're like, why is there just this trancey realm and are just... But the vibrations of God are how everything is held together, right? Ultimately, even Jesus is the vibration of God. So it's like, Jesus is the word. Well, you could say Jesus is the song, you know. And all of our stoicism and you know, historical wrong views of God. My God, it's just like the romantic scandal many times is almost invisible to our eyes. But that's what I want to look at tonight. Just let's peer a little deeper. You know what I'm saying? Let's peer a little deeper into the Abba that Jesus revealed. So Proverbs 8, I love this, right? It says, I'll back up a little bit. It says, Proverbs 8:27. And it's talking about the embodiment of wisdom here, right? Capital W, wisdom. So, I mean, you can call that Jesus or you can call that Mama Holy Spirit. Because the spirit of wisdom is the spirit of God, right? And in chapter 9, it says, wisdom hath built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And then the seven pillars representing the seven spirits of God at other points. So you're like, you know, oh my God, that's a good one too. She hath mingled her wine and she hath furnished her table. Come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Yong, yong, yong. But backing up into chapter 8, it says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. You know, the word for rejoicing there, like in some translations, it's made more clear, it's indicating the dance. You know, just the spinning and the singing and the rejoicing as the world was created. So there's Lady Wisdom, or capital W Wisdom, call it Jesus, call Holy Spirit, with the Father dancing and rejoicing throughout creation. And as the sons of men are created, it says, my delights, plural. I love when words like that have an S on the end, you know what I'm saying? Delights were with the sons of men. And so, you know, so I'm just thankful, guys, you know, it's like, it's just such a fun life that we're living out. And it's not just by accident, you know, it's not just out of convenience, although you'll find that community becomes the most convenient thing ever. Even though people are like, well, what about all the challenges? Again, it's like anything. You can say, what about all the challenges? Or you can say, what about the glory that makes all the challenges not even worthy to be compared? You smell that? I was smelling honey. The glory. And it's the glory. But later it says, Jesus in John 17 says, the glory that I had with the Father before the world was. And so when Moses said, show me your glory, and then God says, I am gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. So here they are, wisdom and the Father, the Trinitarian dance going on. Before creation and during all creation, this explosion of grace, compassion, slowness to anger, like an abounding in loving kindness, you know. And so I love the creative like pictures that artists and authors are beginning to display, like the author of The Shack, or like some of you guys have been painting, you know, just seeing some of your artwork reflecting. Like that within the Trinity, there's always been this just interchange, you know. And what's so amazing, you know, that in all of our union talk, I've been challenging people lately to like for some of us in the Trinity, that word Trinity has two parts to it, right? The tri part, which is the multiplicity, but then the entity part, which is the unity. So there's a oneness and there's a multiplicity within the oneness. And what's so amazing to explore in that is, well, what I've been challenging is whatever side that you felt like you had some revelation, maybe take a look at the other part. You know what I mean? Because I think right now there's a profundity. You like that word? There's a profoundness to both parts of that being revealed in us and as us. Because this is, you're getting to know yourself. As you look in the mirror of Christ, you're reflected not just as an independent creature, which is what we've been talking about so often, but as a dependent part of the whole. Of the one. It's not just I am in independence. The word Elohim indicates the one, but the plurality within the one. And so, what's so wild, and I think if you only focus on one part of it or the other, it's like you're literally missing out on like half of, you know, all of you, yourself. Of capital Y, yourself. You know, so it's so amazing to realize that you are one with God right now. Amen. Has anybody been getting wrecked at that revelation of the union? Like, you are one with God, not like, and you can delve into that. In fact, most Christians need to delve into that one way more than the tripart. Because we've been used to a duality or a multiplicity, and it's made us double-minded and split personality disorder. It made us schizophrenic. That's where that double-mindedness comes from. When you're literally still confessing things about yourself that aren't true about God because you picture a duality. And so in the unity, you come to a realization that whatever is true about Jesus is true about you in the union. Everything that's true about Jesus now is true about you. To entertain any other thought is literally just to hold on to a lie. And so that's why a lot of times I preach the gospel, I'll say, here's another way to say it. Everything that Jesus is and has, you are and have. Whoa, yay. And so just to go on that journey, instead of saying about all these things that you're getting from God, just to begin to speak and declare and live as God. Christ as you, the life I live, I no longer live. You know, Galatians 2:20, but the life I live is Christ. Or some translations, simply Christ using my body. You know, there's so one. But on the other side of it, now what you begin to encounter in the Trinity, and this is such a massive revelation, is a collective oneness. You know, that corporate sense, but it's not a sense of duality. That's what we need to throw out. It's not me and God, but it's yourself or every one of us as an expression of God. And it's hard to, you know, like we've been talking about for ages, you know, explaining the Trinity. I mean, who's going to be able to explain it? We're not. Just take it by revelation. Woo! He's got it. So it's not a duality, but there is a triune nature, or what's always been included from the beginning. Even why it says here, you know, it says, I was by him as one brought up with him. I was always daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. You know, there is this sense of God in three persons or God in multiple persons. You know, and so, I mean, that so, what, and there's so much to chew on both sides of that, right? And I just want to encourage us to delve into an exploration of the Trinity, just looking in the mirror. And ultimately, Jesus comes to fully reveal that Trinity, to fully reveal. So you can search through all the scriptures and you may end up confused, but just look at the person of Jesus. Just look at what Jesus expressed and you'll see the true heart of this communion, this community that's been going on through all the ages. And this picture of now the life that you've been brought into, right? So tonight I didn't even prepare the passages that talk about you being included so much. But I think that's kind of something we've been becoming familiar with. You are included in the Godhead. That's what every time it says in the scripture, literally like dozens, maybe over 100 times in him. All right. In. When you see that word in, you can just think of included or put inside of, or it's even more than inside of. It's literally mystically like every one of your cells, you know, mirrored and merged with the cells of God. Even beyond your cells, it's beyond something you can explain physically. It's just this mystically one, you know, this union. You've been included. And so, but as we look through the scriptures at these passages then about we're us included in God and then and seeing the triune nature of God, I think there's so many there's so much revelation then that begins to flow into our practical everyday life. It's not just interesting concepts pie in the sky, you know, but we begin, this is where community actually has the such a high value. Not just because it's fun or an interesting idea, it is that, but because you begin to see it's the very nature of who you are. It's like the nature of our existence is that and that's why the body analogy is so effective. Like, would you want to exist cutting your arms and legs off? You know, would you want to exist without any part of your body? And this is literally like the expression. So it's not like, it makes every single person indispensable to you, right? It reveals that community is literally like all of us are part of each other. All of us are like, not just in some, oh, that's kind of a cute way to say, no, like literally like this, the universe like exists in a healthy way as we are revealed as one, as we see ourselves as one. So the health of the universe is flowing through this multiplicity within the unity. And this is why, like, for me, I'm like, I'm really excited about, you know, the cool, you know, conferences and books that are being written and, you know, and having good meetings. I love that. But my heart is so to see an expression of the oneness so much far beyond having a good weekend. Or having a good year, even, or reading a few books, or even writing a few books about it, which that's amazing. I'm excited. All of those things are a part of it. But ultimately, what I'm longing to see are these cultures that look exactly like the Trinity. You know, these cultures that have such a high value on one another that it's no longer an option. Like if you get in an argument with someone, it's no longer an option to separate. Like, you actually see, you have to find a way to work it out. And not by, you know, all these steps and efforts, but by a revelation of your nature and character, of who you are, seeing who you are, beginning to then say, like, it's like, yeah, it's just, it's not okay to say, bye-bye, you know. Yeah. Let's look at John chapter 17. Because this is, I mean, you know, I think anybody that when you really start to get into the scripture after a while, it's like you hit John 17 and you're like, man, this is like the best. Like Jesus' prayer, you spend so much time here. Jesus, they call it the high priestly prayer, or one of his last prayers before he was, you know, before his passion manifest. And I love it, and I talk about this a lot, but it's so good. Yeah. Verse 20, John 17, 20, neither pray I these for these alone, but for them who shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one. And that's what's wild. They all being one, right? So it has the all and it also has the unity. You're not losing your personality. So that's the other thing. Like some people are like, I'll just keep praying, Lord, let me decrease that you might increase. It's like, no, he actually made you for a reason. You know, like that, like if you read that I must decrease, that he must increase, it's actually in context, when John was ending his earthly ministry, when John the Baptist. So he's saying, my ministry at this point in time is coming to an end, that Jesus' ministry might be glorified. But John wasn't saying, Lord, take my personality away and kill me. You know, John's just saying, this particular, you know, operation is decreasing right now. And that's fine. You'll have times like that in your life where you are operating in one way and then you're going to operate in another way, but it doesn't mean that your personality is gone. You know, that's what's so amazing is like, there's been a culture of death in the church, like trying to kill ourself. You know what I mean? So like suicide, you know, is like, how can I get rid of myself? Well, you want to get rid of the independent self-mindedness, the ego sense, in the sense of the sinful flesh or whatever, which is what Jesus crucified. But, you know, even those passages where it says like Jesus took you to the grave, if you look deeper into most of those, it's actually talking about he took your sinful nature to the grave. But he didn't come to dissolve you. You know what I mean? And this is where I think, you know, some people get confused too, where they're like, I'm just trying to disappear almost or something, you know, and what comes along with that so many times is like a negative self, you know, image, which actually having a positive self image is okay. It's amazing in dependence and expression of Christ, not as this independent thing that's competing against anybody else. Right, it's as an expression, and then validating all the expressions around you, you know, seeing them. Oh wow, they're an amazing expression too, and we're different, and we don't have to compete. We're not, you know, and all that. So he's like, they all may be one, as thou Father art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us. I don't usually preach from the KJV, but here we go. That they may all be one. As thou, in the same way, and this is what's, oh my God, like, in the same way that the Father and the Son, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us. So that's the whole package right there, dude. The same level of vulnerability and openness that the Father and the Son have with one another. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And it's so wild how like oneness freaks a lot of Christians out, you know? Like, it's like how unity, like how God as all and in all, like, just sounds too strange. I'm like, dude, this is like Jesus' last prayer on earth. You know what I mean? It's like kind of, he's like, hey guys, here's the whole thing I was going after. And we're like, oh, that sounds weird, brother. This is like, you know, and you still see those remnants of it. Like whenever you start to like, you know, move together, like in a tight knit way or in like a tribal, you know, in such unity, it's like, oh, look out for that cult. It's going to be a cult, brother. And, you know, people have been burned by that. And there's been a lot of, you know, controlling things when you don't understand the full nature and character of God and you're trying to corral people. But, dude, this is the very, like, heart that is, oh my God, that they may all be in one in the exact same way. And this, this is what you feel. The vibrations are all moving this direction, right? Yeah. Like when, you know, I love being high in the presence and drunk in the glory. And one of the things I love about that is how I just get to feel so one with the people around me. You know what I mean? Like if I had a problem with somebody and I get really jacked up in the presence, it's like real easy for that thing to get resolved. You know what I mean? In fact, a lot of times you can't even remember what the issue was because you're just drunk, and all you begin to see is you see them from God's perspective. Because part of being drunk is literally just it's like your spirit overtaking all of your senses. Is the presence of God overtaking every sense, so you begin to see with heaven's perspective. You know, and then what's amazing about the gospel is it reveals you can live that way all the time, and then you can begin to see. It's the only way that the operation of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit can be the operation between all of us. We're seeing each other that way all the time. And so you're just like, wow, like you are just so perfect. Like I just see you as you are. Like I'm enamored by each one of you. like I'm enamored by like the amazingness like of God, like when you look at this person and you see them then be in the fullness of their identity in Christ, you're like, it's not a challenge to say, oh, you're indispensable to me. You literally see it. You're like, oh my God, like how could I live without this person in my life? Like they're amazing and they have a unique like operation in the Spirit. And it's such a childlike thing. You're no longer doing church. You're no longer coming to some gathering. Now you're literally like just drawn to these people because you see them like, how could I live without this person? Like, and so gatherings become so easy and spontaneous and you're calling one another. You're and that's what you feel. That's why I love, I was a part of the church unity movement for a while, trying to bring people together, pastors together, churches together to do all this stuff. But in the end, I found that we could never make it work. Like it just never worked. Right. But when people just started getting in the glory, I'd see such a unity. So I said, I'm just going to give myself to the glory and then just believe that all that unity stuff is going to happen rather than trying to get everybody in a room and say, let's pray these prayers. And now let's all do this. But just say, hey, I'm just going to live in the glory. I'm going to fall in love with you. Believe that it's going to rub off eventually or whatever. And we'll all just fall in love with each other. Eventually we'll be together. Because like for a few years, I mean, That was the thing. I saw, hey, when everyone starts to get together, this is, revivals around the world seem to happen when all the churches get together as one. But what I didn't see was that that was a byproduct of the glory. It wasn't like, oh, somebody organized it all. And so, so what I'm saying, kind of like last week, is this drunkenness in the glory produces, this whole prayer in John 17 is all about the glory, like give him the glory. But why? It says, I ask that you give him the glory that they might be one. So the presence produces the unity. And, that's just the very virtue of God. And this is what the Trinity has been experiencing from all eternity past. This is what you've been grafted into. And, this is what the glory, oh man, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 if you have a Bible. Philippians chapter 2. Actually, it's fun. There's a good, in I don't forget what version this is, but it says Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourselves. I think, let me back up. In the beginning of chapter 2, it says, if there's any encouragement in the Messiah, if there's any comfort in his love, or you could also say, if you're drunk at all, if you're at all experiencing the presence of God, then, verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, it says. Wow. Yeah, right? Actually, in this translation, it says, if there's any fellowship in the Ruach. That's a cool one. What translation is this? The Messianic Jewish Family Bible Project. I don't know, but I like it. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in the Messiah, any comfort in his love, any fellowship in the Ruach, if there is any mercy or compassion, then make my joy complete. Complete joy. Wow. By being of the same mind, having the same love, united in spirit, with one purpose. Do nothing out of selfishness. And this is where we're talking, that this revelation of the Trinitarian life and being included in there means that the nature and character of God and how the Father treats the Son, how the Son treats the Spirit, like becomes our normal life. I'm just really excited about it. I see it's possible. I know we've all been like burned by people that talk about love and stuff, but I just have to believe, like not in our own strength, we're all learning and growing in this thing, but I just have to believe that what Jesus died for actually like has some substance and that can be lived out. Looking out. Now, this is what is transformative. It says, looking out not only for your own interests. How many times are we like concerned primarily about what's God's will for me right now? Right? But in the Trinitarian life, it's like, what is going on with us? You know what I mean? Just beginning to see the whole. It's not downplaying yourself, like saying I'm bad, like we just talked about. It's not I must decrease, but it's the value of all life, you know, when I see glory manifestation, I see it transforming to where people begin to think of the whole. You know, you begin to think in terms of all of those around you, your families, communities, cities, regions, you know, just imagine, just see yourself right now in the heart of God. Like literally concerned about the 7 billion people all at once. This is what we talked about last week, about having your heart expanded. Like King Solomon said, it says his heart was expanded to fit all the nation of Israel in his heart. Like a wise king actually being concerned about everybody. You know, wow. Instead of, you know, I'm all about being kings and lords, right? Like you are gods, it says. But the loving Lord of the universe, the loving God, is the God that puts everybody inside of his heart and considers everybody better than himself. So all that power is used to uplift the people. Oh, yeah. With humility, considering others more important than yourselves, not looking out only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Messiah Yeshua, who though existing in the form of God, did not consider equality to God something to be grasped. Now some people will be like, well, that means you should stop talking about the fact that you're God. No, like I think what it's talking about is that insecurity of needing to claim your godhood all the time. You know what I mean? Like this insecurity of, hey, by the way, I'm God. You know, or by the way, like trying to, you know, having to like press yourself forward to, because you're not really in deep down, you're not quite certain of it. You know what I mean? I think what Jesus was doing was literally using that godhood to elevate the people around him. You know, and so it says he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess. So the very glory of Jesus was the humility. You know, it was the ability to prefer, you know, to prefer those around. And so, I don't know just what I see in this. And what's so exciting to me to see, like, people that are really getting touched by this love is to see that practical transformation that begins to take place where they're literally just like, you know, always just looking into like, how can I love you and how can I bless you? How can I like touch, you know, your heart? Like, the need to preserve I has been removed, you know? And this is what I see this glory doing, is like wrapping us in that like safety, you know? The Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, you know, wrapping us in such comfort. In such comfort, in such safety and security in ourselves that we're able to really be, you know, liberated, you know, true liberation. Have a drink, people. But this liberation, dude, you know, salvation was so much more than just, you know, I don't know, like for Maybe the Western view of salvation is one of like the almost the cheapest, you know. I feel like we've cheapened the word salvation, you know. But across the world, a lot of times just your average person on the street might be able to give you a little bit better definition of what salvation could be than those of us that have been caught up in religious things in our life. But, you know, salvation meaning liberation, meaning to actually be completely free of all negative influence and be able to live as your true self. And I sincerely believe that this is what we've been given by grace. You've literally been given that ability now, not 10 years from now, not 20 years from now. Now, it might, you know, your awareness might manifest at any time in those times, and it's no, you're not better or worse if it does. But I believe what Jesus purchased on that cross through the death was the killing of your old ego to release you into this Trinitarian life. To release you to be able to live freely, included here where without hindrance. To be able to love without hindrance. And this is the gospel. Like, this is what we're so jacked up about, right? Is like, not just that, oh, a nice little high and a cool, like a cool, buzz or, you know, hey, I can say I was saved. No, like the demonstration of unhindered love. So my heart is continuing to burn for communities that begin to manifest that, like, to begin to think, like, what, you know, maybe that's already been in your consciousness, but what if today, like, you could have, like, a crossover in the line in your consciousness where you're beginning to know, hey, I can live unhindered in love in union with all of these people, with everyone I meet, really, but with whoever is put in front of me and begin to live just like the Trinity. That this heaven on earth manifestation is like going to take place. And so we'll be able to have cultures where, you know, one of the verses that comes to mind is like, I keep hearing like under the shadow of his wing, they find refuge, you know, like where there's so much God likeness that you begin to manifest like wings, like just like God, and people can come under the shadow and the refuge of your wings. This is who you are right now. Like, I'm not even preaching you into it. I'm just declaring what's already true. I'm just declaring what's, like, you right now have been grafted in or have been always been included in this Godhead, able to love without, like people are like, hey, you know, I got really irritated and annoyed this week. You know, that's fine and everything, but there's coming a place right now where you can literally never, you know, be really irritated with the people around you anymore. Where you're so liberated that you're able to bleed love. You're able to be stabbed and turn the other cheek, like just automatically because you actually like those people. So anyways. Back to the ecstasies. I'm going to read a verse too that Betty shared earlier as we were kind of praying before the gathering. Yeah, unless Betty wants to share it, but Psalm 36, yeah, here it is. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. You can just imagine yourself saying this in the mirror. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And then the next verse is the one I usually quoted, but I wanted to include the previous one. There's a lot of Revy. But it says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Many can even continue. It says, with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to those upright in heart. Ugh. It's just so good, man. Let me back up and read a little bit more of it. It says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness is in the clouds. The righteousness is like great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, and you preserve both man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. So this is what I see in the Trinity. You know, the Trinity was so excited to create, like, out of the overflow, because they knew underneath their wings there's so much refuge for, like, universes to exist and, like, just enjoyment, you know. And so your house, your life, you know, your influence is going to become just a shelter, you know. Just by being yourself, you know, just by naturally just loving whoever's in front of you and just being, you know, being the nature and character of God, like, it, as yourself, like, just freely, wow. This is the way that the drug addict will recover, you know. This is the way that the orphan will be loved. As you are just realize that, man, there's nothing, by my efforts I can do nothing, but I was created to be like the, you call it the fourth member of the Trinity, or just call it being included in the second person of the Trinity, or just call it just being the of the fullness of the divine nature, to be fully God, fully man on this planet. And Let's just feel the divine river flowing through you right now. Woo, in your light, seeing light. Just feel the light of God permeating every one of your cells, every part of your DNA, you know, having a strand of light in your DNA, the God light, the God DNA. That manifestation of the triune nature, the multiplicity within the unity, the union, you are one. There's only one God, still true, right? But within that, there's persons, and you're one of those persons. You can see yourself wrapped up, not just, not just like tolerated within the Trinity. Oh, crap, you know. They got in there. But as a full-fledged member. As a full-fledged, like, this is what I see, you know, in, when you see those hundreds of passages throughout the scriptures that say, in him, this is what you have in him, or John 17, us and them, that we and them, they and us, them and each other, everybody in this unity, that the Trinitarian dance could be manifested on the planet. For all eternity. Amen. Amen. You feel, let's just stand for a minute. You just stand with me. Or you just hug somebody. We'll just come to a close here. Let's just hug somebody. Just say you're such a good Trinity. Such a good member of the Trinity. Oh, we love you. We bless each other. We receive from one another. I receive your ministry. I receive the group hug of the Trinity. Hey.
Such a good Trinity. We're all one.
Hey. Ended up in a group hug.